243. Everybody found that?
Is that right?
That feels right. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest 18,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to quench and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care I need to grow. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows bore. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn. From my heart and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I will safely reach the door. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's the fairest 18,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will, the walls far about me, God nothing that appears. With his manna he will happily search a field. They will sweep me and glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever flow. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest 18,000 to my soul.
Thank you, Brother Buford. I hope and pray that everybody's had a good week, and I'm not complaining or anything, but you know, it just seems like every time you turn around, the devil's trying to distract you or discourage you, or he's always nitpicking, ain't he? One day we're going to get rid of him. I'd like to ask you to turn to 1 Peter. First Peter in chapter 5. You know, in the first part of this chapter, he writes to kind of give an instruction and exhortation and encouragement to the elders and some of their duties and even the younger. And then there's he exhorts them to humble themselves and to cast all their cares on the Lord, which, you know, we ought to do that anyway. It seems like today a lot of people are putting their trust in a lot of different things but God. And I want to stay focused and put my trust on the Lord. Because He'll tell you right. He'll direct you right. And he's the only one that's got all the true answers. But we'll begin with verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, begin with verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I don't know of a one sitting here that don't belong to the Lord that Satan would love to just completely destroy you. And he uses the word adversary. He ain't no good. He can't do nothing good for you. He's of no benefit to a Christian. Absolutely none. He's the enemy. You know, the people out here in the world, they're not my enemy. They might not do what the Lord wants them to do, but really Satan's the only enemy we got. And I know people have a tendency to let Satan use them, and you know, we can be offended and stuff by that, but really when it all boils down to it, Satan is our enemy. He's the one that's our enemy. And God loves the lost. He loves them, wants them to be saved. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Praise the Lord.
I don't know if anybody else has thought about this or not, but and I don't say this boastfully or anything, but of the morning when I pray, I think about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I think about my brothers and sisters in Christ that I worship with. I pray for y'all. And like I said, I'm not bragging about everything. I just want you to know somebody cares. Somebody's thinking about you. But I also think about, you know who I think about? I've got brothers and sisters in Christ in Africa. Do you know that? In Japan, in China, Alaska, Turkey, Russia. I've got brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world.
Amen.
But here's what the Lord brought to my attention. They're in the same trials, the same afflictions that we are. It might not be the same. You know, I think a lot about the countries that are extremely poor in material things. You know, and how I've often wondered, you know, about people in foreign countries, how far they might have to travel just to get one message out of God's Word, and what they might have to endure, being attacked by wild animals or whatever. But you know, our afflictions are a little bit different. You know, Satan afflicts us in a little bit different way. I don't know about anybody else, but we're tempted by the world. That's how, you know, we all got different afflictions and temptations and everything. But it's common all around the world. But there's hope. And there's a reason for that. Did you know that there's a reason that you're in afflictions right now? There's a reason for that. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Ain't that wonderful? That's our hope.
Amen.
After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. There's a reason and a purpose that we're in these afflictions. First of all, God wants to make us perfect. Now, He don't mean without fault or walking, you know, just, you know, walking better. What this word actually means, and this is the way the Lord showed me. I reckon they just recently had that iris festival. You know, iris is a beautiful flower, isn't it? But when it starts to grow, you see the leaves and then you see a stem shoot up. It's not perfect yet. It's growing. And then you'll see a little bud come out on that. Now when that begins to bloom, you'll keep watching it. And when it reaches its peak, when it's at the most beautiful that it's going to become, at the peak of its growth, then it's perfect. It's mature. It's as mature as it's going to get. And that's what He wants us to be mature. To act like men and women and godly men and women. And that's why we go through trials, to establish how we're supposed to conduct ourselves and what we're supposed to think about and concentrate on. And then he says, establish you. And we have to be established. And he says, simply talking about being steadfast, unmovable. But not only just steadfast and unmovable where you're at, but have a direction. I don't know about anybody else. I've determined in my heart, I'm going to stand on that rock.
Yeah.
And my mind's made up. with God's help and the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going home.
Amen.
I'm going home.
Amen.
I'm determined to do that in spite of what Satan tries to do. I'm determined to do that. And then he says, we're going through these afflictions to strengthen us.
Right.
God's not looking for no weak Christians. He wants some strong Christians. And it's Rick's actually talking about spiritual strength here. A spiritual knowledge and a spiritual power to be strong in that. You know, I can certainly tell you, and I believe some of the more mature people in here will agree with me. Pretty soon we'll be knocking on 67 years. And I can tell you I can't do what I could do 20 years ago.
You're right.
I can't do what I could do 5 years ago. This old body might be getting weaker. But I believe a spiritual man inside. God wants him to be a Samson.
Amen.
He wants him to be a Samson.
Grow in the things of God.
And then he says to settle you. Just to have that peace and confidence in God. Knowing that we have that hope and that God's going to help us and that we've got a home in heaven waiting on us. I tell you what, I hear about all this stuff going on with Israel and everything, and you know what? I'm not discouraged. I'm not worried.
I've read about it.
I ain't even scared. I'm encouraged. Because you know what that makes me want to do? Makes me want to look toward the east. Just makes me want to look toward the east. I tell you what, I just appreciate the Lord. I just want to read one more verse for what is wrote in God's Word. Verse 11. To Him, talking about God and the Godhead, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
God deserves all the praise.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Every bit that we can give Him. And the more, if we'll grow spiritually, we can truly give Him the praise that He's worthy of and that He deserves. And the only way we can do that is in spirit and in truth.
So,
does anyone have a testimony or song? Anything you need to do for the Lord? I hope we, in some small way, we've helped you and encouraged you. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here and try to be a help and encouragement. And I just want you to know I love you. I love you and appreciate you.
I love you too, man.
So, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Paul.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anybody got a song or anything on their heart tonight? Good to be in the house of God tonight. Let's turn. Would you turn your Bibles over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel tonight. And I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. And the Lord's been a burden in this on me, and I know there's a reason, and I know that God's got a way, but it's in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. We'll talk to you a little bit tonight about. We're preaching on a very, very familiar story, but it's maybe in a different way. Maybe you've never heard it. I've never preached it like this, but the Lord gave it to me. All day yesterday, I went to sleep on it. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning on it, and there's a purpose and a reason for it. So God help us to... God help every one of us in the building tonight to give us wisdom to try to hear what God's is saying tonight. And I know there's a reason for it. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, I want to read verse number 6. The Bible said, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his son and his daughter, But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let's all bow our heads tonight, everybody. Reverence God and the Word of God. Let's bow tonight and let's pray for God's anointing and His help tonight. I need Him tonight as much as anybody. Let's bow our head and our heart tonight. Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You, God, for this privilege You've given us, God, to be back in church once again. Thank You, Lord, for every heart and every home, God, that's here. And I ask You tonight, Lord, You'd help us to reverence Your Word, God, and help us to deliver, Lord, what You've had on our heart all day yesterday, 9 o'clock last night, 4 o'clock this morning. And I know, Lord, there's a purpose, and I know there's a reason. God, will not fail to bow, give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Forgive us, God, for we fail You. And I pray, Lord, You'd help us and put us behind the cross. Speak to every heart and every life. God, You're tonight, and we'll always do our best to kneel and give You praise, give You honor, and give You glory for all You do. In Jesus' humble name we do pray. Amen and amen. Don't you look, think about tonight what I just read to you there about what David was talking about here. David was in a lot of distress, just like Gene was talking about the trials and the troubles that you and I that we face on a regular and a daily basis. David was in the same way right here, but I want you to pay attention tonight. David, the Bible said, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and you'll find in other places where the Bible said that David strengthened himself in the Lord. So that tells me tonight there's some things that you and I we got to do ourselves. There's things that we need to do ourselves. I know tonight, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has made man a free moral agent, and we need to choose whether we're going to live for God or we're going to choose if we're going to not accept Him and die and be in eternity separated from God. But I'm glad tonight that one day on an old-fashioned altar I nailed and asked God into my heart and my life and begin to grow in the things of God and learn in the things of God. But there have been times in my life that I've had to learn how to strengthen myself. God, we know tonight that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. But we know tonight that the Bible said a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, the house begins to decay. So my Bible tells me that there's some things that I'm going to have to do. There's one thing that you and I that we've done. The Bible said we believe with our we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus that God raised Him from the dead, but we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight as we look at this, but I want to talk to you tonight about one of the biggest familiar stories that's ever been in the Bible. You'll find it in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want you to look with me tonight with this right here. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I've wallowed around this all day. I've wallowed around with it all night. What we wonder about this. Here was a young boy, I believe in 1025 B.C., and his name was David. I believe he was 15 years old here when he began and when he slay the giant. But I want you to notice something. Every one of us have got giants in our lives. Every one of us got things that we have to make decisions about. But I'll tell you tonight, don't get mad at me. Don't disagree with me tonight. But when David went down to the brook and got the 5 stones out of the brook, as somebody said, well, it's because I've heard everything. I've heard, 5 stones means grace and provision. I've heard 5 stones means obedience and truth and praise and courage and that strength and that different things like this. But I will tell you tonight, beloved, on mine and your journey of life, we're going to face giants in our life, and there'll be times that we'll have to reach back in the bag and get a hold of whatever that we need when we get in that shape or in that position. And I'm going to show you tonight, you're about a 15-year-old boy, brother, that was, he not only had faith in God, but he had some skills and he had some practice in his life that brought him to the time in his life that he could have faith in God, believing in God, that God would bring deliverance. See, there was a time right here, brother, that the Philistines had come up again, had God youngins, and the Bible said that David had had brothers down there in the battle, and the Bible said there was a giant over there. His name was Goliath. And brother, we've all got giants in our lives. We've all got problems. We've all got situations in our lives. But by the grace of God tonight, David had learned some things along the way that brought him victory here this very day. Here we are now. David, he was just a little ruddy boy, and maybe 15 years old, and he went down there to check on his brothers, and brother, they taunted him. They said, "What are you doing down here?" And brother, when David realized that the Philistines were mocking and had the army of the living God, brother, David got a hold of something. He got a hold of courage. And the Bible said Saul had begun to put his helmet of brass on and his armor and put all of his armor on him. And the Bible said, David said, "I don't want this. I've not proved this. I'm not used to this stuff. I don't need it." And the Bible said that he took it off and brother went down to the brook and got five smooth stones. But let's look right here what happened when he began to talk to Saul about going down to fight the giant. And you'll find it in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want you to look with me here tonight and think about what we're talking about. But you'll find it in 1 Samuel 17. Let's look, read, and start reading right here about verse number 33. The Bible said, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and then he is a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Listen now, guys, listen." Saul told the truth right here. He said, "David, you're young, just like I was. When I was coming to the Lord, the devil was telling me, you're too young, or you're too old, or you don't have the ability, or you don't need to. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that." But David's proving a point right here that God is going to help him. Praise the Lord. You let Bill and Debbie and them pray right there, and we're going to keep on preaching. I tell you what, we just want to kneel. We're going to kneel down and pray with them. God help him tonight. God give him courage to come up here and pray. And we just want to pray with him. Lord God, we prayed with for this man, with this man. And ain't it good, praise God, that he's come and wanted to kneel down and pray. Let's pray tonight. He'll just talk to the Lord with your heart. You know what to ask him and tell him about. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you tonight for Brother Bill that's come. And Lord, wanted to get things fixed up with you, Lord, and actually had to come into his heart, God. And I know, Lord, you will. And I know, God, you brought him, and Lord, you brought him this way tonight. And we praise you and thank you for that tonight. And we ask you, Lord, to help him to accept you by faith. And Lord God, no. knowing that you know all things. That's why I pray tonight, God, you'd give him strength. And Lord, all through the Bible, men, God, they come to you, Lord, in trouble. And they come to you in sickness. And they come to you in death. They come to you in different ways, God, but you saved them. And you changed them, God. And so we praise you for what you're doing tonight. And God, we prayed along for this for a long time. And we're so grateful tonight. And ain't no telling, God, what we're going to have to go through until we find you. But Lord, I pray, God, you'd give me peace tonight. And that, Lord, that only you can. And we'll not fail to bow and give you praise and honor and glory for all that you do, God. Thank you for bringing him our way tonight, Jesus. In your name we do pray. I know he is, Bill. I know the devil's a fighting you. Did you ask the Lord to save you, Bill? You believe he did? Just by faith. You got to believe it by faith. Now the devil's going to fight you. He'll fight you today. He'll fight you tonight. He'll tell you you didn't get nothing. But I'll tell you one thing. I believe God's draw Bill tonight. I believe Bill's asked God into his heart tonight. And I believe the Lord saved him. And the devil's trying to discourage him just like he did you. And just like he did me. Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, for that devil to leave. And God, give him, please, Lord, help him, give him strength. I know, Lord, Bill, you'll confess him. I'll give you some strength, boy. Devil lied to me before I got out of the church. They make bets on me and Lou at the Hawkshaw House, Bill, that we wouldn't make it. They laughed and sniggered and said, oh, they won't make it. And I got doubts and I began to wonder myself. But I tell you what I've done. I began to keep coming to church and just keep coming to church and pray God. I began to grow in the things of God. At John chapter number 8, Bill, verse 44 says this. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and everything that the devil speaks is a lie. And he's a father of it. And so if the devil would tell you that God didn't save you, that's a lie out of the shut walls of hell. It ain't God's will that nobody perish. But do just exactly what this man right here has done.
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
Devil's fought you a long time over that, Bill.
Bless your heart.
You believe he saved you, Bill?
I'm not sure. Like I said, something's kind of getting out the door.
Well, you know what it is. It's the devil.
It's the devil.
Because he's lied, and he said, well, you shouldn't have waited this long, and you've got this going on, got that going on. You reading the Bible, they were women that bled for years and years and years. Man laid at the pool for 38 years. All different ages. A lot of older people waited. Nicodemus was an old man that I believe got born again. I believe Nicodemus was an old man. He's a lot older than you, Bill. He got saved. You'll read all through the Bible. Just like Donnie, just like me, other people. Our Sunday school teacher here, he run a whole lot longer than you did. But here he is tonight. I just hate the devil. Bill, I'm going to show you something right here. Let me show you what the Bible said. I'm going to sit down here with you. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says right here. And the devil hates this. This right here is what Paul told the church at Rome. And I don't know whether you know Paul or not, but he wrote, you keep coming, we're going to teach you that he wrote the seven letters to the seven churches. Paul was a man that stood and helped the coach of other men that took him off and throwed him on. And he stoned, and they stoned and killed Stephen and while he helped their coach. But right here's what Paul said after he was converted. The Bible said, in Romans 10 and 8, he said right here, think about this, Bill. Right here's plainly what the Bible said, no matter what the devil said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That if you done that right there, if you believed in your heart and if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, and ain't enough devils in hell can stop that.
Amen. Amen.
That's the only hope we got.
And you've asked the Lord to come into your life. I know the devil's a lying. You believe that he did by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things you can't see. Faith is something you can't see, Bill.
I can't understand what you're saying, Paul.
Faith is something that we've got to have. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. You believe Jesus died on the cross? I didn't see that, but I believe it. That's faith. You believe God raised him from the dead the third day? I didn't see that, Bill, but that's faith. That's what faith is. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. He said, if we'd believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, you'd be saved. Just like you said a while ago, you've asked the Lord to come into your heart and your life. You believe he did? By faith. Now, faith is something you can't see. You got to say it. You got to confess it.
I just need to keep on saying it.
If you struggle with it and the devil just keeps lying to you, just say, you get behind me, devil. The Lord changed me. He come into my heart.
And
the book of the Revelation said this right here, Bill. He said, we overcome. You know what overcoming is? It's by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the blood that we shed on the cross. The word of her testimony is just saying, devil, you're a liar. The Lord saved me that night. I had to say it Sunday morning, Sunday, Sunday evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But the more it kept coming, the more convinced I got.
The devil put doubt in our heart before we got off the altar that morning, Bill. He had doubt in our heart as soon as we got off the altar. We just kept, had you have to keep coming. Just be faithful, be faithful, be faithful.
You know what?
He's a liar.
He said, what are you going to do with that liquor, Paul? What are you going to do with that dope you got? See, I had a lot of stuff. I had a lot of stuff at the house, guys, I could have went to penitentiary over. The devil was saying, what, God couldn't save you with all that stuff at your house. Mm-hmm. But he did. You know why? I could have went home and got rid of it. They come back at night. Faith, Bill, can you just trust him? That's all you got.
You got a new man.
She's had one for a long time. He's just been trying to get out.
Hey, Lou, I'm gonna feel you.
Hey,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Bill. Praise the Lord. Faith is believing, ain't it?
That's it. Yep.
Praise God. Donnie, what about that? Just trust him. Keep on trusting. Keep on trusting.
Lord, just keep coming. You're strong forever.
Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to finish this message. And I believe it'll help all of us. Boy, ain't that good? If it got any better than that, I don't know what a man would do. Lord's been dealing with Bill. I've talked to him for a long time, and he's had a lot of questions. But if he'll keep a coming, we're gonna try to answer some of them questions. by the word of God, we'll try to answer some of them questions. But let's look on into this right here. Bill, if you're able, I'd like to stay and listen to this. If you need to go outside and get you some iron and come back in, that'll be fine. But anyway, guys, right here, David was a young man when he started out. I mean, I wish to God that I would have been able to stay in church and kept going, but I didn't, and I couldn't, just like a lot of you all. But right here, David, right here, the Lord is trying to show us something tonight here in the Word of God. You'll see that I read to you there in 1 Samuel 30, David was in a lot of distress. David was in a lot of discouragement. Even on over in here, and what I'm going to use tonight, this is back before David was anointed king. So David had a lot of things going on in his life and a lot of distress on him. But the Bible said he strengthened himself in the Lord. Now let's go back over here to the Bible school story. We think about David right here when he fought this giant. You know the story about Goliath. He was a giant. He was a big man, and the Bible said he had brothers, and the Bible even goes on back to say that Gideon would have destroyed all that God told him to. At that time they wouldn't have been. But hey, I'm gonna tell you something tonight, guys. It doesn't matter if our forefathers did not destroy the giants. We'll always have giants in our life. But thank God tonight, I believe you're here. I believe you're trying to get help and trying to get strength in the Lord. Gene opened up, and I didn't know this, but we'll have afflictions in our lives. We'll have discouragements in our lives. We'll have disappointments in our lives. But trusting in God, we can grow and we can learn these things. Now right here, David, Saul asked David to put all that armor on, and he said, I don't want that armor. He said, I've not proved that. See, listen, I enjoy your testimony. I mean, I enjoy your singing, but I can't survive on that. I mean, I've got to do something myself. I enjoy hearing other men preach. I enjoy listening to Sunday school and so on. But I mean, I can't survive on just that. I've got to do something myself. I mean, I've got to let that word become alive in me and begin to exercise it. And you'll begin to learn skills, and you'll begin to learn the tricks of the devil and how to get out of them and how to discourage them and things like that. But anyway, right here in the 17th chapter of this 1 Samuel, we see here that Saul wanted David to put on his armor and all like that. But David said, I'm not going to do that. I've not proved that. But let's look right here in verse number 34, what David said right here. I believe this right here, guys. Experience will give you hope. I mean, experience, it'll give you something to go on. I mean, when you face life, when you face trials and things in your life, there'll be times you'll have to have strength from God and from the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe God looks at us and said, hey, you ought to do something about what I've given you, the courage that I've given you, the faith that I've allowed you to have, the praise that's in your heart, and the courage and so on and so forth. Right here's what David is telling Saul in verse number 34. I've been up this all night about it. He said, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. He said, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. He said, and I went out
after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, he said, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. He said, the servant, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he had defiled the armies of the living God. He said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And that's when David took off all that armor and went down there and got him 5 stones and the sling, and he went down there to face the giant. And here Saul's thinking, and there's no way that this little old ruddy boy will be able to go back and fight this giant. Just like Bill tonight, coming and asking the Lord into his heart and in his life, and the devil's telling him, no, you can't do that. You're too weak. You're not able. But I'll tell you tonight, Bill, God said, the battle's not yours, it's mine. And that's why tonight we got to trust God, believe God. It doesn't matter, boys, there was a woman that caught in the very act of adultery, and they throw down at his feet. And when Jesus began to accuse them and ask them how perfect they were, they began to flee. And she got up, and he said, woman, how were thine accusers? She said, I ain't got none. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It was a man in the graveyard. He was naked, cutting himself, driven by the devil. And Jesus cast him out, and he followed Jesus. That's what the devil wants to tell us. We're too weak. We don't have the ability. But I've got news for you tonight. Praise God, we can train ourselves to fight.
Amen.
Think about this tonight. David in 1 Samuel 30, a lot of distress. His wives, because the people was about ready to stone him. David was in a lot of distress. But the Bible said David strengthened himself in the Lord. You'll find in other places where Saul had a boy, his name was Jonathan. Jonathan, David become great friends, and Jonathan began to help David and tell David, said, David, daddy's here, John in a cage somewhere, he's going to kill you. And the Bible said, because of the news that Jonathan brought him, David was strengthened in that. I'm saying tonight, guys, I believe, praise God, experience brings hope, and the experience that we've gotten and the things that we've been through, it'll help you along the way. Well, let's go on tonight. Let me finish this. Alright. Now pay attention to what he said right here. David said right here, he said, I kept my father's sheep. And he said, and a lion, and there come a lion and a bear, and took one of the lambs out of the flock. And he said, when that happened, he said, I went out after him. He said, not only did I go out after him, I smote him. Now you listen tonight. I don't care if a man is 10 foot tall, if he's 9 foot tall, and he's like this. You tell me tonight, how is he going to stand against a big bear? How is he going to stand against a lion? There ain't no way Goliath could have made it through the bear or a lion. Do you believe if there was a 500-pound black bear come after Goliath, who do you think would win? If there was a 700-pound lion come after Goliath, who do you think would win? I tell you what would do. that bear go for to his eyes, and that lion would go to his throat, and but they got the jaw. I'm telling you, David's trying to show us something right here. He said, Saul, he said, my father had a flock of sheep, and one of them, a bear and a lion come and got it, and he said, I tell you what I done, I went after it. Now, he's leading up to something here. See, God just, I believe God's just saying, just watch him. Watch this 15-year-old boy. Watch this young Christian. Watch. God said, watch Bill. Just watch him. He says, I'm coming. I'm going to come. I'm going to learn of these things. See, listen, guys. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for somebody to do something for themselves. I mean, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand, and the house will fall down. Hey, I'll turn tonight. And they can't come to church because of this or because of that. I tell you what, it's high time, pray God, we wake up, and God is expecting something of us. Yeah. Yes, I can. What did I do with my glasses?
They're on the table.
Well, bring them over here. Bring me my Bible over here, guys. Pray. Bill, there's a man in the Bible right here. Let me just show you some scripture right here. The bad in the Bible. Bill, you hurt, you listen. I'm going to tell you what the devil's using. He's using all that stuff you've seen. He's using all that stuff you've heard. Just like some things that we talked about over the years. People go to church and live like hell and this and that and the other. The devil's using all that right now. Right here, Bill, and I mean, this is the Word of God. There was a man, I talked about it. He was in the graveyard. You believe people could be possessed by the devil?
Let's pray, guys.
This was him. Pray for Bill tonight. This was him. And when Jesus went over to Galilee country, that man met Jesus, but the devil spoke to Jesus. He said to Jesus, to that man, what have you done? Come to torment us before our time? That was coming out of that man's voice. That man, he said, but the devil was using him, saying, what have you done? Come to torment us before our time? That's when Jesus cast the devil out of that man. He went over there and swine. Alright, right here's what I was getting at. You think that the devil cared anything about that boy? He was tormenting him day and night. He tormented him day and night. Jesus finally said, that's enough, devil. You come out of me. For the Bible says, you ask the Lord to come into your heart. The devil and God can't live in the same place. Get no better than that.
devil don't want you to, he don't want you to live for him. He knows you'll be too big of a threat to him. Because you'll win other people, y'all. That's why you're having such a battle right now. Because the devil knows if he loses you tonight, you're apt to win somebody else to God. That's why he's fighting you so.
You just cut the hand off the giant, man. Before you start.
Just believe God. Just trust me in my faith. Listen, it's like that little car you're going to get in out there directly. You're pretty well confident in his car you get out there. Just like that one we're going to get in. Trust him by faith, dear. Faith is believing in something you can't see. I wasn't there at Calvary, but I believe it. I wasn't there the third day when he raised it, but I believe it.
Yes.
And the reason, I just believed it by a little bit of faith. He said every man has got a grain, a mustard seed of faith. But as I come into church over years, Bill, the Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Our faith will grow. We can get stronger in this. And every time the devil comes to you, you just remind him of some scripture that you read.
Right.
You just remind him of a passage that you heard. And it'll make you stronger. Guarantee you, you've got one right there that'll walk with you. I can show him the Bible. You showed him over in Corinthians. Over at the church of Corinth. The Bible said the wife can win her husband because of her faithfulness.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen her faithfulness, and it's come to real tonight. You've warned him, Debbie, more than anybody, honey. The way you've lived and talked and acted around him. Brought up youngins that nobody loved, nobody cared about. God used him in a little youngin to get Bigfoot. All he was. I don't even know that your heart for years, Bill. It's the Lord been after you for a long time. That's where you have such a struggle tonight. Death will say, no. It's a lie of hell. He knows it. He knows if he loses Bill, well, I've lost a good boy. Death will say, well, I've lost a good man tonight. He's a screaming and a kicking and a, you know what the angels are doing in heaven? They're rejoicing over you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over one sinner that repented, the angel would rejoice in heaven. And if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
I've seen people. They're over a year, and I've seen men several years older than you. Make things right. And they do the very same thing here, but struggle with it, because the devil just lies and lies and lies and lies to them. He brings up people.
He's telling me I didn't mean it, Paul. He can tell me I didn't mean more trouble.
Well, he's a liar. Mm-hmm. You didn't mean what you said. How's a man like you tougher than a pine not break down?
That's right, amen. He's a liar. Tell him more.
Just trust him, Bill. It's like you trust Debbie. Trust the Lord. He'll never bring you by stuff to you. He'll do good to you.
That's right.
Bill, they set up at the hospital. You remember the hospital? Bill Hoffrock has a group. They set up like that. It's only what if we did last. After this some of the moments past you. Because it's been coming, Bill. It's kept coming.
Pray for you, brother. Just keep coming.
Pray for Bill. Just keep coming. He'll sit through Sunday school and he'll learn.
Yeah. Get stronger
every time you hear the word of God.
I know exactly what he's going to do. And another thing right now.
The devil's telling me to
get out here.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank God. That's why we're here, baby. Look, these people sitting
around
praying
for you. We'll stay
here all night. They're praying for you. God to help you tonight.
Did they look mad, Bill, or do they look like they love you?
We love you, Bill. We love you, Bill.
Everybody.
We'll stay as long as it takes.
We They ain't been a service went by here that I know of. Somebody mentioned Bill's name. Right. Do you remember one? If it wasn't Debbie, it was Paige, it wasn't me, it was Lou. If it wasn't Lou, it was Donnie or somebody, Willard, Abby. But the thing about this, let me tell you this right here, but it don't feel too bad. It ain't been too long ago. We prayed for Donnie. Donnie was out of church, been out of church. Come in and sat down back there one Wednesday night. Church was over. We was going home. He got up and he said, I want to do what Bill just done. Yeah. He prayed and asked the Lord to come in. Yeah. I'm not going to tell some stuff he had to get rid of.
He's been a blessing. Donnie. He's encouraged.
We went to camping up at Haby Crockett. Ruby, I'm going to tell it. Don't you get mad. She said this right here. She said, "Preach, don't you listen to this." She had recorded him in the bedroom praying for the church, praying for the lost would come and be saved. Think about this, old Bill. The devil knows you're going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to be praying for people now. The moral of the story is tonight, David had to do some things himself. He fought that fire and he fought that lion because he knew if God used him to kill that fire and that lion, he didn't have no problem with that guy. See, just like Bill started a long time ago. But it kind of festered here the last little while, and he'd come tonight and out park like it. But he'd come up here and he said, "I'm going to have something I've got to do myself." And he'd come up here and said, "Hey." And listen, when he confessed the Lord, that's when the war really started.
That's right.
Yeah. He wasn't bothering you that bad, Bill, but you asked the Lord to save you.
That's right.
And then he began to get in your brain and beat your brain down. He's a liar.
He's a liar.
Anything that comes in your mind negative, I'll guarantee it's not from God. Your past, or why this, or why that, that's a lying devil.
Right.
God just saved.
You're a new man now, bro.
God just saved.
Right.
Got a new young.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, the angels is rejoicing in heaven tonight, Bill.
Right.
I would never bring that
to you.
No. I'm the devil.
It's right. God's Amen. Cast your sins, and scar his is from the east, his from the west, and bury them in the depths of never be brought before you again.
You man, brother.
He cast your sins as far as his sins is from the east to the west and buried him in the depth of the sea and never to be brought before you again.
That's right. Amen.
What a book. Isaiah, what chapter is that? I'm going to read it to the devil. Well, yeah, he's a laughing at you. He's a mocking you and everything else. You'll get stronger. You'll get stronger. The devil.
Psalms 103:12.
103?
103.
Where's it at in Isaiah? Look right here.
Our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins
and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You ask him a whole lot. That's the whole time. And the more you learn about it, the more you learn about the scriptures, you have more to fight with. Things that you've heard the saying, put on the whole armor of God. Right. What that means is, the more you put on, the more you're able to withstand the flames of the devil. Because he said, put on the helmet of salvation. What's a helmet? Guard your mind. The breastplate, guard your chest.